Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red, go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go. Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based at Galliano and Boyd. Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Yeah.
Big Red,
the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe. That's it.
Yep. No Tweety. No Mike Canale.
No
Joe
babbling.
Senior.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we went on air because it's a bit of a slow Nebraska day. Super Bowl Sunday, we're recording. By the time you hear this, the Super Bowl will be over. So we're talking about maybe getting my dad on because my dad has a Rivals account, but because he could not figure out how to do it, my brother set it up. So it's set up under my brother's name, which is Mike Canale. My dad's name is Joe Canale. So is my name. My dad is the only one who really goes on the Rivals. I used to until COVID started. I was already weaning out for some other reasons because I have a tendency online to be a little bit more abrasive.
You don't say.
Like everyone online. Anyway.
Well, correct, yeah.
But my dad is on there, but we were talking about maybe trying to get him on because he has a lot of Nebraska opinions, but he's so technologically limited that it'll take 2 weeks of setup before we can have him on.
My brother would
just talk about soccer, so he can't come on.
I ran into that same. Oh yeah, that's very true. Our listeners would revolt.
Yeah, especially today. It's not all he could talk about.
Yeah, I had the same experience though with someone like I knew it was an effort in vain, like trying to get someone on a Zoom call because like I work for a TV station and. So, you know, ideally, if I'm going to do an interview with someone, it's on Zoom and not the phone. Like, I write articles and stuff, too, but so I can use it. But this old football coach for Wayne State, I needed a quote from him on something. And the Zoom thing just didn't happen. It was never going to happen. I don't even know why I bothered to ask. So I could maybe have stuff usable for our TV side of things because you can't record a phone call on your phone at the same time you're getting it. At least I couldn't with the app that I use. So,
right. So
I opened up a Zoom, put my phone up next to my computer microphone and at least we got recorded audio that way. And And he tore.
Put up a still photo of him next to it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then he tore into Nebraska for not having special teams coach. That's how I'm tying it into the episode.
Wait, but was it a news story, but he just went off?
Well,
was it about Nebraska?
So he was he used to be the football coach at Norfolk High School, and the guy who was one of his assistants became the head coach at Norfolk High School. He retired after like 40 years, and he was talking about how, like, in the early 90s, he came to him and wanted to be the special teams coach for Norfolk High School. And he's like, I had never thought of the idea of a special teams coach. And man, I learned pretty quickly that's important. Yeah. Look, and it's true.
It absolutely is. Virginia Tech, you know, and that's how some teams make up for deficiencies in other ways. And I think you can kind of do it on the cheap with special teams. You know, if your special teams are exceptional, and Nebraska's were for years, both sides of the ball. You know, we haven't had, you know, DeMornay Pearsonell, I think, was a dangerous punt returner for us.
Yeah.
And that wasn't that long ago, but I feel like we just haven't had, you know, it does feel like ages. Wandell could have been one, but he was too valuable in other ways to the team, so you couldn't really put him back there all that often. And that's another thing. You need enough depth that you can have your second string Duck R guy be your first string kick returner. And we, you know, the Bears went to a Super Bowl, the one they lost to the Colts. They had a very good defense. They had an awful offense.
Yeah.
Kyle and they had a very good starting quarterback. Well, yes. Yes. There was a lot of stupidity with that. And he wasn't even that good, but he would have been better than what they had. But their special teams, they scored like 8 touchdowns on special teams that year.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
No.
Oh, just I was just going to say, real quick aside, you know where Kyle Orton's dad is from?
No.
Auburn? Nebraska.
Oh, I should have guessed that. Nice.
He was an all-state athlete for the Bulldogs. But
how did Orton slip away to Purdue then?
Well, he grew up in Iowa, but he grew up a Husker fan. But for the style that Nebraska was playing at that time and the style of quarterback that Kyle Orton was, it made way more sense for him to go to Purdue. He would have never seen the field.
They got him in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, because Nebraska.
Kyle Orton, he's a rich man, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's done all right for himself. But yeah, those teams that focus on special teams, it's not just like taking a punt back, taking punt returns back, but like simple things like punt coverage, kickoff coverage, just blocking a kick here or there. Like that's where Virginia Tech made their hay.
Yes, we truly were the opposite, where we had kicks blocked. We had fakes run on us.
Yeah.
You know, we lost games because of our special teams. And when your margins are as thin as ours have been the last couple of years, there's 100 things that could be the difference, but that is a definitive thing that we have sucked at, that if we were just average at, maybe we get a couple more wins. And if we're good at, maybe we get 3, 4, 5 wins. Who knows?
Yeah.
Out of the ones that we've lost this season.
Yeah.
Because so many things go into it, you know, field position.
That's huge. And especially when, you know, Nebraska continues to decide they want to be tempo, 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 even though they've recruited personnel that says, we could probably be a little bit more like Iowa offensively and just run the damn ball. Like when you do that, you have to do everything you can to take every little bit of pressure off your defense, because as improved as the defense was, they were put in a lot of difficult situations. And as a result, gave up some points.
Absolutely.
If you want to hang
your hat, the whole thing has to fit together.
Yeah, if you want to hang your hat on that style of offense that Scott Frost does and that style of tempo, great. But you have to find other ways. Like, there's a reason I think that he's got Eric Chenander as his defensive coordinator continually, not just because they're buddies, but also because that's a tough ask, that defensive coordinator's job, when you when you've got a guy who wants to do that kind of offense. Like,
that's true. I didn't even think about that, how the pressure it puts on a defense because the way the offense is playing. Now, again, when the offense is scoring 45 a game, your defense can be a little faster and looser and go for those turnovers and whatnot. Yeah. But when the offense is only putting up 20 points a game and is losing the time of possession every game, now you're in a bit of a bind. And you're right. That's where something like special teams could make a difference. Getting more of a pass rush is, you know, that I'm surprised we haven't done better at attracting somebody who could come in as a freshman. And now I do think Feldarius Payne is going to develop. He showed some stuff. I enjoyed watching him at the end of the season. And,
nice.
You know, you hope the guy, you hope Tanner comes along a little bit because physically he seems to fit the part.
This is going to be his senior year already.
I know.
That's crazy. That's absolutely now, is
it
crazy.
Is it his junior year?
Well, yeah, because everyone gets that extra year of eligibility. I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah.
Keep
forget. I really think that could be. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. You go.
I just think that could be as much as this year was bad for Nebraska, everything that kind of went bad, that thing could help Nebraska more than a lot of other teams. Again, because a team like Alabama, the teams that are at the top, those guys were going regardless. That extra year doesn't mean much to a lot of their prospects. But to ours, it really, you know, in terms of the way we've wanted to develop age and depth, that is a whole year of helping in that way with our team. When really the guys who we've lost, we haven't lost the guys who are, if we lost Cam Taylor Britt and we lost, you know, let's say one of the other defensive guys who's going to be a contributor who might be an NFL guy and kept all the others, that would be, you know, that's what's happening at Ohio State. We are actually, our better players decided to stay the extra year and we lost some of the dead weight.
Minus Wandell.
Minus Wandell. But yes. But Wandell wasn't leaving for the NFL.
Right.
I think Wandell also, if Wandell was everything he thought he was, he would have stayed at Nebraska. But I think, you know, what he thought he was when he came in as a freshman, I'll be there 3 years and then I'll go to the NFL and I'll be Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But I think what he's discovered is like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, I'm a marginal guy now. I need to take 4 years because he is going to get the waiver most likely because his mother is ill. And
I'm assuming that's
totally appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no, you know, I know people will blah, 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 but I can't blame him at all for that. Again, the point, had they not had his trainer come to Lincoln with him, you can make that argument much more purely and eliminate any of the playing time arguments and stuff like that. And so I'm a cynic to begin with, and that just fits right in.
Yeah.
But again, also, as I think about this, my daughter is, I have an adult child.
I know, you're old.
She's 18 years old. And there's no way that she's an adult in terms of conceptual thinking. You know what I mean? Like, there's still development that goes on. And then you look, you know, when you're in your 40s, you look at the 20s, I think we are universally agreed in modern society, the 20s are what like being 12 was when you were 200 years ago, you know, like it's the equivalent where you're just doing dumb shit because you can, and you probably have 50 years to go after that.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in the 1790s,
probably based on your decisions.
Yeah. Like, well, that's true. That's true too. But, you know, in the 1800s, it could be 50 minutes. That's midlife. It could. It could, based on behavior as well.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, so I'm not going to judge any of these guys. Now, once you're in a system for 4 or 5 years, I do think that kind of grows you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a college senior who played football at a big time program is going to have some levels of maturity more than other college grads.
And some if
they,
others,
you know, responsibility and stuff.
And some others that they wouldn't have, like, you know, it's a little bit of
social skills, perhaps.
Yeah. Like ability to talk to media or to handle criticism. Those will be things that I think other college students probably wouldn't have, but yeah, like, certain
there's less making it up as a football player. It's structure, yeah. And you can fit into that. Whereas college for a lot of other people is just the opposite, where it's, you have to create your own structure,
right?
You're offered all this freedom, and your responsibility is to see if you as an adult can pull it together and keep it together. And so, yeah, I do think this is why I would love to offer the University of Nebraska some improv, not like goofy red ball, yellow ball stuff, but like team building stuff. And I think that program could use it, especially because I think they need a little bit of relaxing. I get the sense that there's an uptightness about Nebraska right now.
Joe, there are already plenty of dudes who've gotten busted with weed in that program. We don't need you popping in there.
Well, we're a year away from federal legalization. So
fair enough. Fair enough.
And once that happens, you know, that's why Tweety's telling everybody, I'm not going to say any specific stocks. I think the past couple of weeks has shown us the danger of all of it. But Tweety is right. If you want to get yourself in on something that has a relation to weed, whether you like it or not, it's going to make you money.
Oh yeah. And there are plenty of people who probably don't smoke who are getting in on that stock.
Do you know how much more money Nebraska would make if it was the weed husker state as opposed to the corn husker state? I'll tell you what, you get a lot more for a pound of weed than you do for a pound of corn, no matter where you're selling it. Well, maybe not as cattle food. If you're feeding your animals, you don't want to feed livestock. Although that milk would be good.
I mean, Kobe beef, they feed them beer. Might as well just experiment with other bison.
And there's cow. Those pigs that they only feed like acorns or something, you know, like there's some kind of Spanish ham that they just feed them like hand-fed acorns or some shit. You know, it's ridiculous that there are people who still can't find food, and yet we are feeding pigs by hand to slaughter.
Why can't what I think the name of what's the name of that food where they like overstuff ducks and geese?
Foie gras.
Foie gras. Yeah.
Foie gras.
Yeah, I've had it. Then I learned what it was, and I felt
they
terribly
force
guilty.
Feed them. Yes, and I don't think you can create a free range foie gras. I don't think you can just convince a goose to eat that much.
No,
because right, it's like their liver swells up or something.
Yeah,
it is really awful.
It's terrible. My God, yeah, like.
And have you seen that YouTube video of the cow? That's like, there's a woman playing guitar and the cow's like dancing to it. Don't watch it if you love steak.
Man, and now I'm gonna eat a bunch of overly spiced chicken.
Let's switch to what's your Super Bowl situation? We know that Tweety is attending an unmasked celebration in a gym with 650 people all watching one big screen and screaming.
They're all going to walk on their hands to get their food and then use those same unwashed hands to eat their hot wings.
Yes. Yes. They're going to feed each other. It's a weird thing where they're going to give each other food. It's a CrossFit thing.
Yeah.
What's your plan though?
We were just discussing because we live in a town
a little late to be planning.
Well, so we live in a town of 500 people, and we usually, and Emma and I both work a lot. And so we usually just drive to a nearby town to pick up groceries on the weekend. And it, snowed again this weekend, but I think what we're going to do is we're just going to drive in to a restaurant nearby, do some pickup. Emma was going to make a roast or something. I was like, just relax.
With two people, a roast is like, it's
we have a lot.
Eat it.
Yeah, we've got a lot of meat.
I bet. I mean, you might as well. It's got to be cheaper there, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Here's the funny
thing. Not just because Nebraska and California, it's cheaper generally, but I just think the beef is fresh there.
Well, the funny thing is, so we have a meat locker just a few blocks away from us, but when COVID hit, all the like the small town meat lockers, because it was so hard to get meat in stores.
What the fuck's a meat locker?
Like, so if you have a cow or a pig or you get a deer during deer season, you take it, they process it, you know, they'll give you all the different cuts.
This is where upstate New York, although I guess there are a lot of deer hunters up there.
Yeah.
But just like that's, you know, I try to claim my backwoods cred, you know, my hick town cred.
Yeah.
Because I lived in upstate New York, but ultimately I lived the Hudson, which is a pretty well populated area. It's not, you know, I could go 25 minutes out to the sticks, but I mostly stayed near where I was. So when I hear a meat locker, of course, now I know what you're talking about, and in the country, that's probably much more common.
Yeah. Well, the thing is though, all these small town meat lockers, people were coming to them to try and, you know, get like their meat through that because there was a lot of like worry about being able to get meat at the beginning of the pandemic. And then as the numbers went back up, you know, that happened again, and a lot of them are booked out for like 2 years. Like if you take a pig there now, they're like, it's crazy, right?
You ought to get into the slaughtering business.
I thought your screen had frozen because you were so still.
No,
but your wires
was
kept
me
moving.
Free.
You're good at that, man.
That's crazy. Yeah, I try to fake people out with that. Oh, I have a great... What the hell is this?
God almighty, school.
It's the first time I've ever gotten a phone call during one of these. And it's the stupid school district. And this is exactly it. This is why I thought of this prank. This is a good prank.
Okay.
I'm giving this to you. I'm going to try this on a lot of people. Tweety is somebody who we should both try it on. Okay. And it's funny that I was going to say this to you before that call came in, but I was inspired by this school call because when my kid's school calls, you get a phone call message, you get a text that says the same thing, and you get an email that says the exact same thing at the same time. Overkill.
Yeah.
So I did this with my brother last night. I called him and I left a message. And on the message, I said, "Hey, did you get my email?" I sent him an email that said, "Hey, did you get my text?" And I sent him a text that said, "Hey, did you get my message?" So after like a half hour, he called me and he was like, because he didn't know what, like it was all going around circular. So he thought I had something to tell him. So I think we should, next time you leave a message for Tweety, right after that, send him an email and also a text. The email says, "Did you get the text?" The text says, "Did you get my phone call?" The phone call says, "Did you get my email?"
There you go. I'm
it's
for it.
Really, this is what happens when you have a job right now. I am in quarantine with just as much time in the house and no assignments. So that's what I'm doing.
I'm still just in my house. I work from here is good.
Yeah, no,
I don't want to go
during
anywhere.
The day.
Yeah. But also, yeah, I did like 80 hours this week. It's too many hours. Yeah.
Well, I hope you're getting paid for them.
I'm salaried. So,
of course.
No.
Well, that's why you're doing it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, give them half as much.
Yeah.
Are you able to take long walks there?
Yeah. Although,
like,
not
you
right.
got, there's, you can walk without a mask forever and never encounter anybody or anything.
Oh, super easy. Yeah. The only downside is that it's 0 degrees right now.
Yeah. Walking is not as fun in that environment.
Friday, Saturday, all the high has gone up. It was going to be a high of -3. It's going to be a high of 0, but it'll be a low of -13.
Jesus Christ.
That's not wind
chill.
Where
in the state are you?
That's not wind chill. That's regular temperature. Northeast Nebraska.
Northeast Nebraska. Okay. Yeah.
So like near like South Dakota and Iowa.
Yeah. 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 A lot of the wind can just whip through there.
Yes. Yes. What? You seem like you got distracted.
I forget what I was going to say.
It's all good.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of dips.
Like
Super Bowl dips.
Oh, okay.
I have to make guacamole and blue cheese dip.
We have a coaching staff that seems to enjoy Skol, so I thought maybe you meant like a dip of tobacco in the lip.
They do. They do enjoy a little pinch between the cheek and gum. I never see him spitting.
Yeah.
I never see Frost like spitting.
Do you think he
guts
on
a football field if a coach? Well, I mean, think about it. Because if he doesn't, a coach doing that, spitting on the sideline, around them sooner or later is going to be a brown circle of their spit, especially with sideline paint and stuff. So he might be.
Well,
and you know that's going to make you jacked up. If you're swallowing that shit, you are jacked up.
Well, I'll tell you what will make a gross ring of color around you throwing up.
Yes.
But it also looks like he doesn't have it in his lip during the game. It looks like it's a post-game thing.
Probably, yeah. 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 It might be a little pre-game thing, get him charged up too.
get that. Something tells me that's not a thing he picked up from Tom Osborne.
Oh, God, no. Osborne, he's straight edge.
Osborne just did a rail in the locker room beforehand.
That would be the craziest.
He's just pulling out the mirror.
The craziest. Time to run the option.
It was funny hearing you talk about like Nebraska relative to like Alabama and Ohio State, because I agree with you that like with this extra year of eligibility, it'll help programs like ours. But I also think too, like a school like Wisconsin or Iowa, they're already kind of an advanced version of that. They're going to have dudes with mortgages and divorce settlements on their offensive lines.
Yeah, they're going to have, you're right. Their offensive line is going to be older than their coaching staff.
Yeah.
It's true. And that, I think, is what we are after, especially on our lines, is that Big Ten age situation you're talking about. Northwestern does a good job of that, too, because they don't have many guys who leave early. But then, you know, and that's what Wisconsin does, where they'll get a running back. Somehow they keep those guys there for 4 years a lot, probably because they have a guy ahead of them for two of the years.
Yeah.
But that's where they, you know, they get their real NFL skill talent at the running back position. And then they build those lines up year after year. So, you know, yeah, you're right. They are also doing that, but it's less of a change for them than it is for us.
Yeah,
I think.
Speaking of Wisconsin, did you see that their defensive coordinator was up for the Packers job? Defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
He turned it down, I guess. That's a
very
that's
weird.
A program. Well, he went to Wisconsin. He played there.
Ah, we'll see. And that's what it's like Fitzgerald. Like the Bears should have hired him. And that's the only team he probably would have gone to. And that's the thing, you know, he's a Northwestern alum. It's funny how in the Big Ten right now, you got a Michigan coach, Nebraska, Northwestern. Any other coaches, alums?
I'm trying to think of that, actually.
Minnesota, no.
No.
Wisconsin, no. Iowa, no. Right?
Yeah, I'm just
Penn State, no. Rutgers? Did Schiano go to Rutgers?
I don't think so.
No, he coached them before, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of ties.
Maryland?
Pretty sure, no.
Who is Maryland's coach? Okay.
Ohio
State, Ryan Day.
Yeah, he went to New Hampshire.
He will never coach at his alma mater unless things go very badly. Yeah,
if the wheels fall off, then maybe.
I mean, Bo was at Youngstown.
Well, what's Bo going to do this year?
Oh, Bo went to Ohio State, though. Oh, yeah. Maybe he'll be a broadcaster.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
Someone will have their finger on the FCC dump button, like, constantly. Yeah, Brom is not a Purdue guy, I'm sure.
Brom might be a Purdue guy.
Are we sure?
Brom might be a Purdue guy. No, he could be Kentucky or something too, but I have no idea. I think he might be.
We're full of information here.
You're looking it up.
He played at Louisville. I knew that. I don't know why I doubted that.
Kentucky. Because
there was talk that he was going to go back to Louisville and then didn't, which was kind of surprising.
That was it. You're right.
Why can't I think
that he said he didn't go to Louisville?
A couple years ago, he had the chance to go to Louisville.
I think a Big Ten job's still better than that. I think that's a step down.
Purdue to Louisville, though? I'm not convinced. I mean, maybe it's maybe that Papa John's money is drying up now that he's gotten in the shit.
Right, and you don't have Patino bringing the big bucks into the school for everybody to siphon off of.
By the way, Mike Locksley, the Maryland coach, is from the Maryland area. Went to Towson.
Oh, Towson State. Okay.
Yeah,
they've had some NFL guys. I think Dave Meggett went there, and he's not a good person. He has a bad series of things that have happened with him, but he played for the Giants. He might have been the first guy from Towson to make the NFL, actually.
Really?
Dave Meggett, yeah.
Hmm. I used to go to Towson occasionally when I worked for VCU, and they were in the same conference.
Right. That conference has come along.
Well, I mean, they're not in that conference anymore. VCU left for the A-10, but the CAA was a good conference for a while. And then a bunch of teams left.
And then that's what happens. And then
Mason,
the good teams
VCU,
go up.
Like you say, that's
so.
Yes.
We missed signing day. Nothing happened. Avante Dickerson, it seems very clear, desperately did not want to go to Nebraska.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. I mean,
total whatever. And that's totally up to him. But I think I think it's actually kind of interesting, and we shouldn't be all that surprised necessarily, but I don't know what went on. It's funny. There's a Louisville women's game on right now. And there's Papa John's stuff all over the arena.
Oh, it's Papa John's arena.
Oh, well, there you go. So it's I find it interesting that he decommits from Minnesota, which, you know, in 90% of cases, you think that means he's coming here. And then, you know, Oregon out of nowhere comes up. He just really seemed to want to get out of the state and go far away.
I think there are some people who just want to do that, especially, you know, if the program isn't in a good position.
Right.
I don't think he's got deep Nebraska ties, his family.
Yeah, it seems like. So that was just the big thing. And that means now we have two spots, which from all accounts, because of the weirdness of this year, we should have access to some of the better late players who come out.
Yeah, I I wonder, so I got a couple thoughts to that. I wonder how much like Travis Fisher actually really wanted Devontae Dickerson. But I also think like,
well, that's,
and yeah. If you don't really want him that badly, the only relief is that he isn't going to a Big Ten school. So you don't look like shit if he beats you every year. So at least they're
really
that.
Good. Yes.
Like Agreed. You'll still kind of look like shit if he does well at Oregon. But what was the other,
but also doing well at Oregon, going to Oregon from like a general football fan standpoint, you disappear if you're in the Pac-10 right now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you get up to Oregon and you see the facilities and it's beautiful and everything. But as far as like your impact in terms of notoriety and even yeah. people noticing like who knows what the hell all those guys who went up to Oregon State are up to, you know, Gebbia, it could be the starting quarterback throwing touchdowns to Calvin every game. And I really wouldn't even know it.
Well, but if they really were at, like, because Jameer Louisville Calvin doesn't or something, play for them.
Not Jameer Calvin, he's Washington State. But if it's like a Louisville or something where they're going, we are seeing that probably more often.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's good that that's, and then we have these couple of spots now.
Now, I want to say something about that. Like, it's real interesting. I don't totally know what to make of the strategy the last couple of years with, let's wait until after the spring game to see what we need and what's available, like in the grad transfer market or just the transfer market. I think on the surface, like, that strategy makes sense, but I will say the last couple of years, the best transfers and grad transfers have been out and gone before the spring game even gets played. You know, they're spoken for like pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, not necessarily yeah. that, I mean, if they're that in demand, are we going to get them necessarily? Probably not. But
right.
like maybe you don't wait until the last second to try and right. figure out the grad transfer situation, because when you do, that's when you end up.
And also a guy coming in then. Yes. And you also, right. And the question is how good was that guy? Who knows? Also, he comes in late. And so now in a system like Nebraska's, you've also reduced their efficacy because they've had less time to blend in with the system. Like, is yeah. it better to get a guy who's a notch up better later, but you're not going to have him in your system, so he may not even be able to play, versus someone who gets in early, like Terry Wilson? Let's say we use that as the example right now, if they're looking for another quarterback. The question is, how much better of a quarterback are they going to get? The hope is that they don't need him necessarily if Martinez is what he is, but you want a guy to give you some security there. To yeah. me, a guy who was recruited at Oregon, knows the system, was committed to Nebraska at one point, it makes a lot of sense to me. Now, I don't know if he wants to come necessarily now, and he might be looking around for something better too.
The I mean, what it might be is like, what's available elsewhere for him, but also like pitching it as, hey, you know, let's be honest, you don't have an NFL future, but how about you come in and do 1 year as kind of a mentor and a, you know, you are there available. You can push and challenge Adrian Martinez right now. He's our guy. But like,
he's gotten hurt every year. So you yeah. will probably get opportunity.
We'll give you a yeah. fair shot. It may happen. It may not. And then, you know, I don't know if you have any eyes on coaching in the long run, but this, you know, you're here in another school and another system working with other people, and you get that experience. I mean, and then you are our guy to groom Logan Smothers, basically. I don't know. It's yeah, probably a terrible pitch and why I'm not a college football coach, but like,
yeah,
it's a tricky situation.
That was not strong as a recruiting pitch. We wouldn't send you in there.
Well, Well, I mean, you gotta be honest with the kid.
You're
though.
A little similar. Sure, sure.
Because,
but you're very nice too, Pat.
Well, because I'll tell you
that, that's the problem.
I've seen kids recruited into programs where you can kind of tell the recruiting pitch wasn't exactly 100% straightforward, and they are
yes
angry and toxic in the locker room, and you don't yes. want that. You gotta like you're better
well,
off.
And if you
not
do that with one, right? And if you're doing that with one guy, that means that's a recruiting strategy. So yeah. that's absolutely true. You do not want to trick guys into coming to your school, whatever that may be.
You don't want to overpromise and underdeliver.
Tricky like, definition, but
because if you're super honest, like it disarms a person. It makes them think, okay, nothing's being hidden. I know where I stand. It can only get better from what they're pitching. It can't
right.
get worse.
Right.
And then the expectation is there and you're bought in. And if things go better, then great.
I mean, you know, it's interesting though, human nature, because I also agree that honesty is the best policy universally. Now that has been very self-sabotaging in my career, but I also think that points to something about people, which is that there is a percentage of people who just want to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
I'd say a large
percentage. Sadly, right. And sadly, there are those who understand that and are willing to tell them that. We're seeing this, you know, you could broaden this out to a lot of things. And I think that it's not necessarily on the person who likes hearing what they want to hear. That's kind of human nature. I put it more on the person who's being disingenuous because they know that they can manipulate someone that way. And I think that happens a lot in recruiting, you know, and that's why the portal coaches are bitching about it, but ultimately that's kind of the only recourse the players have now.
Yeah. If you know,
and if there was more honest recruiting going on, you wouldn't need it as much.
Right. And I also think a lot of
hot beef sandwiches.
I want one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got distracted by food.
No, I get it.
So
I was just saying about the recruiting stuff and everything.
Yeah. We got a few topics to bang through real quickly before we close up.
Let me move to a,
cause you have food. To
no,
eat,
no, that's all right.
And I have,
I do
well food to pick up. We were talking about the schedule earlier and we were also mentioning Wisconsin earlier. I think all Husker fans,
right. You said this before
this summer and fall, felt very attacked by the Big Ten and also felt like, oh, I know where this is going. So when the new schedule got announced, Purdue, which was supposed to be a home game in 2020, became a road game, and Wisconsin, which was supposed to be a road game, became a home game. So, oh, great. Now we get 2 years in a row at home against Wisconsin, but one of those is against them with no crowd. And now next
no
year,
crowd.
We've got to go up to Madison and hear jump around and shit.
Yep.
It's just, we all knew where that was going, man.
Well, you would think that they'd be done with us by now, you know? Well, they did give us the Ireland game. And now that also gets screwed because that's going to be like now in, you know, it's either lovely Dublin or lovely Springfield, Illinois. Or what is it? Where's the
Champagne?
Capital? Is it Springfield?
Champagne. Illinois capital is Springfield, correct.
But the university's in Champaign.
Yeah, Shambana.
Not right.
Yeah, I don't know. I lost where we're going with this. Do you think
you're talking about the schedule and how we got screwed again?
Yeah. Do you think, well, I mean, they're just subtle changes, but like, there's just those two. But do you think the Dublin thing happens?
No,
I don't think so either.
No, I don't think everything I've read is like, they're just waiting. And that's a shame, because that's a big, cool promotion.
Yeah, that's a fun city. I love it, man.
I would hope they would just do it the next year. Like, why wouldn't Illinois going to play Nebraska next year?
Well, Nebraska won't want to do that, because that will be a Nebraska home game. Then that gets, so with this Illinois Nebraska this year, it's Illinois losing a home game, not us. Nebraska is like, unless we can negotiate it with another team.
Home games. Right. True. And honestly, you know, that makes sense for Illinois. Yeah. Give up a home game. I've seen the Illinois crowds, you know, and so it makes more sense for someone like them, or Northwestern.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even Northwestern sellouts in that dinky little shitbox stadium.
Plus there are a lot of Irish people from the Chicago area who would probably relish the chance to,
Pat
to
Fitzgerald? Go to
Dublin. Yeah.
I think Fitzgerald. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a good idea. Let's do that.
All right. We'll get on the horn with the Big Ten.
Nice.
And one other quick schedule thing. Volleyball gets to be in Omaha for the entire NCAA tournament.
I mean, that's like Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, hopefully.
Is that hopefully in that,
like Nebraska, you know, in the finals in Omaha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too bad that they won't be able to have those great crowds like they've had every time there's been the Final Four in Omaha, because those have just been superb. Unfortunately,
when is that? That's only in a couple months, right?
Probably May, I think.
We could get our shit together, but
it's why the Ireland thing won't happen either. It's just that there won't be enough people vaccinated by that point, probably either here or there. I mean, I don't know how things are going in Ireland, and I know Ireland is not the same as the UK, but the UK is really struggling. I know Ireland would be very pissed if I compare.
Don't get it. All these countries have a National Guard and an army or whatever like that. Like, you know, like, just do a big national program and be done with it. You know, I just think there's so much dilly-dallying going on here, there, everywhere.
There are a number of issues at play, which there are too many to get into at the end of the college football podcast.
You're absolutely right. You're right.
So I won't. Instead, I think we should go get ready for the Super Bowl.
Let's do it.
I don't want
to. We got through this. There was actually Nebraska content.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll send our best to Tweety, who is probably eating barbecue off of a gym floor.
Yep. He's doing handstands on another. Yep. Unmasked, sweaty man.
He's having someone else
Dodge.
Feed him a sloppy Joe while he's down from a chin up. And then pulls himself back up.
He takes a bite.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
So
who are you rooting for?
Probably the Chiefs. I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
Just want to see a good game. I wouldn't be upset seeing Levante David win, because I think he's one of the most underappreciated players in NFL history. He's so good. And no nonsense.
And that's it. Tampa Bay is like going up to Oregon State, unless they're good. Now people are seeing him a little bit. So it would be good for him to, you know, if he had a big game, that's a Hall of Fame type turning moment, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was a linebacker who won. No, it wasn't a linebacker who won MVP. It was a defensive back who won MVP when Tampa won the Super Bowl last time.
That's right.
But it was
that's
a defender. Right. And it very easily could have been Derek. It very easily could have been Derek Brooks in that game too.
Absolutely. And really for Tampa to win, I think their defense is going to have to do something.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
you know,
they, because Tom Brady and that offense is not going to keep up with a Mahomes style shootout. I can't wait to see how wrong we are the day this gets released.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that we're doing Super Bowl predictions for an episode that airs hours after.
The only thing it can do is have people make fun of us. There's really no.
I mean, that's an evergreen thought.
It's already done.
That's the only thing we can do is have people make fun of us is an evergreen thought as it relates to the Big Red Cobcast. But on that note.
Yeah. Yes.
We have such a delay. It's so funny right now. It's like you're in Tehran.
Bigger than ever.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast. Go to Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. Get yourself some cool stuff by donating to that. And that'll do it. Fatty Rides a Bus.
Fatty Rides a Bus.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at HuskerFilm.com.